And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's what's even what? It's totally terrific, totally transformatively, totally triumphant Tuesday, as my introduction paper was all messed up, was we look for unity and we hold on to unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First off, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, where Paul is poised to deliver a powerful message. He articulates that God's wrath is evident from heaven against sinful, wicked individuals who suppress the truth. Uh-oh. Scriptures encourages us to buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23:23. It urges us to accept and submit to the truth, promising freedom in return. And who embodies this truth? It's none other than Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, the apostle unequivocally states that ignorance of God is inexcusable. Those who choose disbelief are consciously ignoring the abundant evidence of God's existence. When they face God, and they will be without excuse and their punishment will be just. They rejected the God of life and will receive the consequences of their rejection. That is why when the Lord challenges us, the wisest course of action is to fully surrender.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And hoy vey, so much more. So we always ask you what you think, and we have somebody on hold that is ready to give us that. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. I want to thank you for being the most patient caller ever in the history of our show. Who am I talking to?
This is Veronica.
Hi, Veronica. How are you doing?
Well, circumstantially, not great, but in my spirit and in my soul, absolutely fantastic.
Ah, it is well with my soul. God bless you. What an excellent statement that you just made right there, which
thank
means
you.
Circumstantially, we're going to be praying for you that God will help you in your circumstances. How's that? Is that good?
Love it. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I've been listening to your show for a couple of years now, and I don't play the lotto, but I feel like a winner because I got through, so that was great. And the other thing is I have a prayer / praise / prayer report.
Okay, gotcha.
So basically, to your point that Jesus knows how to respond to us, and I do believe, because I'm a sister in Christ, I'm a believer, and I know that God can do anything but fail or lie, and be anxious for nothing is very easy to think and say, but very difficult to do. And right now, as we speak, I just am going through a lot of emergencies that I've never had to go through before, financially, mentally, and physically. I literally just had card information and things going on that were overwhelming, and I didn't know what to do. I'm not the type of person that likes to bother my family and friends, and I know everyone's going through a rough time, and I just spend time with the Lord. And the auto shop called me back, and they were able to adjust some services for now and lessen the cost significantly, which I was thanking God for, because I was like, am I going to have to sell a kidney? Do I need to do plasma? What do I need to do to get some extra money? But so I'm working, and the thing is, I literally have had to take, for the last few years, take money from Peter to pay Paul. And then meanwhile, Mary chimed in. So I just had the most debt that I've ever had in my life. My employment is the most seesaw-y it's ever been in life. But yet, my mental stability and attitude is the most best that it's ever been. Literally, like the Bible says, laughter truly has been like a good medicine. And I meditate on Philippians 4 more than ever. And honestly, I can thank God for my trials because my faith is being tested, but I'm working it out. And although it's traumatic, but my mental health, even though years ago I suffered from depression, and I thank God that I'm here and I'm actually able to laugh. And with you, your goofiness and God-fearingness is so necessary. So I've said enough, but that in a nutshell is the reason why I'm on your line today.
All right. That's, first of all, excellent job. Okay. So let's just say you did a fantastic job sharing. So you don't have to sit there and go, well, could I said this? Should I said this? It's like, nope. Did exactly what you needed to do. That's number one.
Thank you.
Number two, the fact that you recognize that, it's very important. So listen to what I say. I'm going to try to say this really cool kind of way. It's hard for you to receive from others because you don't want to be a burden. Right? I mean, that's just, yes. It's okay. That it's okay, but sometimes the Lord works that in our lives so that we can receive from others because that's the intent. And even with Job, after he went through it, his family and his friends and everybody came and helped out, and he probably wasn't going to ask them, but the Lord put it on their heart. And sometimes you got to learn to receive in order for those blessings to be funneled towards you. So don't be afraid of that, or don't be, I'm not saying prideful, but don't be too far away from that. If the door opens, it's okay. It's okay. The Lord does that quite a bit. But the great part is you said the most important part, and that is you're picking up on what the Lord's doing in your life, and he's doing stuff, and stuff is happening, and there's all this stuff and all these fires everywhere. But in the middle of this, you are in this island of grace, and God is saying, no. Yeah, that fire's not going to burn you. No, that's not going to burn you. And while this is all happening, and it's horrible the way it looks, the Lord is not far from you. He's near you, and he's going to deliver you and get you through physically, mentally, and financially. This is not going to keep going, okay? And you have to receive that as a word of faith. I'm going to pray over you and ask the Lord to bless you. And I believe with all my heart he's going to do that very thing. And you'll be open to receiving, and the Lord will bless you, okay? All right, let's pray right now. Father, we come before you right now, and I thank you for Veronica. And first of all, I just thank you for her testimony, and I pray that you would solidify in her mind and in her heart that she shared from her heart, and that brought glory to your name. It was an excellent job. She just shared where she's at. And Lord, you know every nuance of what she's going through. You know the struggle she's going through mentally. But Lord, you're giving her great prevailing times in that. You know she's going through some physical trials that are just, it's just incredible. She can't believe she's having to deal with that. And at the same time, deal with these financial problems that are just kind of overwhelming and coming from the north, south, east, and west in not the good way. And Lord, here's what we're asking. Break the power of the enemy. Break the power of circumstance, break the power of situation, and open up the windows of heaven and pour upon her a blessing to a level that will just absolutely floor her about how generous you really are. We pray for this generosity to come and to change her heart in such a way that she increases every element she has in you that's good. It just increases into higher praise. We have such confidence in you, Lord. I just believe that you're going to bless Veronica. I know she's going to receive it. I know you're going to give it to her. I pray that you would help her and elevate her to that level of expectation. Because, Lord, she's your daughter, and you take care of your kids. And we have full confidence in you and in your faithfulness. And we pray in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Yes. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. You did a wonderful job, by the way.
Thank you. And I just want to say that whenever I am financially able to give to your ministry the way that I've been wanting to. Whatever you have to do to stay on the air, to do what you do, I am in full support. No matter what, if I could work for you for free, I would do that. Whatever you need, I want to do it, because you have been such a significant asset to my life, to my ears, to my faith, to my mental capacity. You will never know, and the best way that I can let you know is right now and financially. Because it took a lot for me to call, and the fact that I got through, and I haven't gotten through before, you're a testament to the work and the will of God when you persevere and just keep his voice and his words in your ear. So I thank you and I appreciate you, brother.
Wow, that's so sweet of you. I would pay you for that if I could. So nice. See, that's right there where you say that. That's what I say. That's where I say your $20 is on the way. Anyway, that's excellent. Very, very wonderful of you to say. And we will have the entire audience is going to commit, Veronica, to praying for you. You got myriads of people praying for you. Have the confidence. Have the faith. Watch the hand of God. He is never short. Just remember that.
Thank you so much. And again, if you need help for free, please keep my number in your speed dial. I will be available. I'll make myself available for free. It doesn't matter. I'm willing to help you in your ministry.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. And thank your audience as well. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Goodbye. All right. See, now you can't. What do you do? What am I supposed to do in that? That's in the sense that that's what we do. That's it right there. You can't. What do you?
Yeah, the show's peaked for today. Yeah, that was a great phone call.
I mean, that is just, she did a phenomenal job. She shared. And I just want to say, I mean, you guys, you're faithful and you're diligent. So I just have great confidence in you as well. You're going to be praying for her. And that's what you need to do. That's exactly what you need to do. Just phenomenal phone call, phenomenal everything. Okay, now. Having said all that, I kind of still got to reset. We still got to do the show. Can't go, okay, bye. Okay, right? And I know Michigan won, but we can't just say, okay, goodbye. Okay. And besides all that, we got the Green Bay, Dallas, and Detroit. And who are they playing? Who's Detroit playing? The Rams. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. We'll talk about that some other time. So we got all that stuff. We still got to take care of stuff. So here's what I want to make you aware of. If you want to reach out to the show, just like Veronica did. Right? Is that not like one of the most important things we can do? Caring for one another, loving each other. Remember, the first two commandments in summation are what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. When Jesus said, I have a new commandment for you, he didn't negate the other two. He added a third. And I know people don't want to acknowledge that, but just read John. You know, all you got to do is read the Gospel of John. You find out, wait, that's right in there. And so you find out Jesus said, I want you to love one another the way that I have loved you. Now, the way that Jesus loved us is better than the way we love ourselves. You understand that? That's why that's so powerful. So if you still want to reach out to the show, you can do that. The way you do that, by the way, pretty simple, is you can send an email. That's an easy way for people, very safe. You can always do snail mail, but you can send an email for during this show, david@hemusincrease.org. For the most part, I get all the emails. Let me just say that. David@hemusincrease.org. You can text us. So to text us, you just text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or just like we just said, you can call us. Okay? So if you're in San Diego, it's 1215. All right. If you're in Denver, it's 115. If you're in Dallas, it's 215. If you're in Detroit, it's 315. See, I covered all the time zones that way and used every D. Diego, Denver, Dallas, and Detroit. That's pretty good.
Oh, wow. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Look at you.
Yeah, so a lot of D stuff in David's life. Anyway, so it does mean you can call us. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. By the way, when you make that call, guess what? You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. All right, talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person. So my favorite person's Noelle. So every time I cheat, I share it with her. I'm just going to say one thing that we've been having a little too much of lately. And then her family's coming in, so I see no end to this. But the thing that we've been doing lately, okay, it's low sugar, low calorie, but fudgicles. We've been doing fudgicles. We've been on this fudgicle run. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, I get up to get, whether it's going to be something good, like a pasta or something. Noah's like, give me a fudgicle. Give me a fudgicle. And so we're just doing this fudgicle thing. So I'm just telling everybody. That's what it's like talking to you, getting a fudgicle.
Is any time you go into the kitchen?
Yeah. It's happening a lot lately. And you know how you know you have too much of something? We have two boxes. Not one, two boxes. And they're not empty. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? Okay. That's right. We need therapy, too. That's two words for you. Therapy. Okay, got it?
All right. I was caught off guard by the intro.
Yeah.
We got the late intro there.
Yeah. I mean, we still pulled it off. You did it, and you did a great job. By the way, you're doing an excellent job. I just want to point that out.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to take our break and then come back. There's so much to cover. Just take a deep breath and have a good time. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment. God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing. It's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. Now, you got to listen to the words, because if you don't listen to the words, sometimes it kind of gets by you. You got to listen. How many angels appeared to Lot at the gate of Sodom? How many angels appeared to Lot at the gate of Sodom? Is it three angels, two angels, or one angel? Three, two, or one? How many angels appeared to Lot at the gate of Sodom? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So how many angels appeared to Lot at the gate of Sodom? Was it three angels, two angels, or one angel? Your reference is Genesis 19:1. So the last one was Genesis 6. This is Genesis 19. We will do our DNA because I think DNA is one of the most important things that we do on the show. Believe it or not, I actually really believe that it is. I know. You're like, yeah, but about this and that. I know. But see, the most important thing is the D, and that's just the most important thing. So here we go. DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. I mean, that's, you have to spend, see, this is what it's all about. Your creator and you're the creation. That's all you got to know. As the creation, you need to connect with your creator. I would just think that makes sense. Okay. Draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Again, just like the disciples who didn't understand everything, but Jesus is the truth, and what he spoke was the truth. And just because you don't get it all doesn't mean it's not, you know, accurate. And so you, instead of being ashamed or letting the world try and twist or, you know, move around and use their little sneaky ways to try and, you know, connect you into being a goofy person, don't care. That you want to really deal with this the right way, don't care. Just don't care. Who cares? They don't have a heaven to put you in. What do you care? They have nothing to offer you. Jesus offers you eternal life. There you go. Okay. Nothing versus eternal life. Huh. How's that go? And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, which means it's not just all about you. It's not just all about me. It's all about one another. It means that we are ready, prepared, and able. And prepared, able. God really makes you able because you didn't like Cain as much as Abel. The idea behind that is simply you are available for the Lord to use for whatever. And don't say, I'll do whatever the Lord wants, except, as soon as you say an except, you better count on the Lord going, really? Nothing gets between you and the Lord, right? So you do what the Lord wants, and the Lord wants us to serve one another. That is what he asks of us. Not asked in the past tense. That is what he asks in the perfect present tense of us. Serve one another. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? All right. All right, we do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Don. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing wonderful. Don, how are you doing?
It's cold outside. I just rode my bicycle, and it was cold out there.
It's cold. Ooh. We got family coming in. It's like, no, I'll have to tell them. You have to have an awareness that it's going to be like 15 degrees or 12 degrees. And it's like her sister's like, I don't even have any sweats because she lives in Arizona.
You know, I really don't either, but I just piled a bunch of clothes on, so it was not too bad. You know, I tell you, the hard part is the coldest part that gets on your body is your hands, especially when you're riding a bicycle.
Oh, man. Yeah, that'd be cold when you're riding a bike. Your hands and your head are got to be those big connect points, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I bought a pair, but I lost one of the gloves.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is funny. I'm going to give you props on that one. All right. All right, my friend. Let me set up the trivia question. I'll give you a chance to hit it out of the park. Here we go. How many angels appeared to Lot at the gate of Sodom? Is it three, two, or one? According to Genesis 19:1, how many?
It's two.
That is correct, Domingo, sir!
Yeah.
It was two angels, and you know Lot knew things weren't good when he's like, hey, don't stay out here, stay at my house.
Don't you know?
that's like saying, it's not safe in the city, let's go this way. You know, it's like, wow, that's not good. Excellent, right. Excellent. How you been, brother? You been good?
I've been doing good. I'm just trying to, I've got a leak underneath my house that's going to cost a lot of money, and going to get that fixed soon.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'd get that fixed as soon as you can, as soon as you're able to. Yeah. I'd start praying, too. That's what I do.
Yeah, I have been. It's going to work out okay.
It always does. The Lord is so faithful.
I just don't have hot water. I have cold water. So that can be a problem sometimes.
That has moments. Yep. Do you got a microwave? That's always good, too.
There you go. All right, sir.
I love you, brother. Good job.
Love you, too. You have a blessed day today.
All right, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent job. All righty. So before we get into anything else, there's just this thing I want to talk about. Now, I'm only going to do this briefly. I'm going to spend a few minutes, and then we're going to break. We did our DNA. I'll get into the Romans message in a minute, but I want to share with you something that was in my devotions today, which I thought was just stellar. I'm not going to get into the depth of it, but in Luke chapter 18, when you pick it up around verse 10 and 11, Jesus is talking about two people that come, and he gives a parable. So this is a parable. It's a story. You understand? A parable is it's the purpose of teaching. And we do read sometimes more into the parables than we should, unless Jesus explains it with those of the details. You got to be careful adding in what he doesn't say. But in this one, it's pretty straightforward. So he gives a parable about two people praying at the temple. Now, what I find amazing about this is he gives the two people are a Pharisee and a tax collector. So as I'm doing my devotions, I realize if you think about it from a practical point of view, and I'm serious, and this is what I do when I'm reading the word, I talk to the Lord and ask questions and just wait. And, I keep reading. If he gives me an answer, great. And if not, okay, that's all right. But I was thinking about, it's a Pharisee and a tax collector. So Jesus could have picked any two representations of people who are praying. But the thing about the Pharisee is that their appearance is right. They appear right. They appear wonderful. Like they're, super spiritual people. And the tax collector, ironically, is at the opposite end of that prospect. In other words, the tax collector, the Pharisee in the story says, I'm not a swindler. I'm not an evildoer. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like the tax collector. See, tax collectors were worse than people that ruined marriages. You have to understand how bad that is, right? It's super bad. So I was thinking, man, the Lord in this example, he's giving you an opposite. Here's one person that's just a complete societal dreg, and then this other person that's like shiny and looks all clean and so on and so forth. So then the Pharisee prays and says, well, I thank you, I'm not like these people. And then he says, I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all my possessions. Do you know what that is? That's pride. Now, before you go, yeah, bad Pharisee, a lot of Christians do this. They pray with a pride, not the pride of knowing Jesus. They pray with a pride of how good they've become. It's awesome that the Lord's moved you from point A to point B, but it was the Lord who moved you. So just remember that and remember who gets the glory. At the same time, or in contrast, Jesus talks about the tax collector. And the tax collector won't look up, won't go close. In other words, he stays at a distance, the scripture says. He won't look up, and he beats his breast. And he says, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Talk about the sinner's prayer. That should be the sinner's prayer, by the way. Because Psalm 51 is not really the sinner's prayer, but that's okay. But he won't look up. So the opposite of the pride is this coming before the Lord in humility. What Jesus said is one of the most amazing statements. He said, after they left, he said, only one of the two left justified. And that was the tax collector. In the heart and mind of God, humility in those times. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have conversation with God, and that doesn't mean you can't joke with... I joke with God all the time. I think he's much more funny than people think. Just look at people. That's all I got to say. Take out a mirror. You'll understand. But here's the thing. When you're praying, it's not a pride. You can have confidence, but it's confidence in God. You don't be confident in you. If you were given what you deserved, you would have been evaporated and zapped out a long time ago. Every breath you have is a gift. When you come before the Lord, make sure you remember, you don't come to him in your pride. You come in humility and find out how much he will do for you and justify you in your circumstance. See that difference? I'm into the book of Luke doing the Berean study Bible. It's like been my favorite gospel study ever. 45 years of doing this, like the best one ever. You should see, it's like a coloring book, my Bible. It's so funny. Anyway, all right, we'll take our break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What happens when he stops following Christ? You stop following him. And what about 2 Corinthians 2:14? Not that we rule over your faith, Paul said. What? Not that we rule over your faith. So this whole notion that there's this authority structure and that people have to obey, because if they don't obey in every nuance, they're going to be, you know, zapped or whatever. Ours was better. You know what our story was? Ken told the story about past congregations he had, how about people who disobeyed him and spoke evil about them, and how God killed them. That's what he told us. In fact, it was true that somebody out of the 110 people out of his three previous churches, we'll just leave that there. One person did die. Wow, one out of 110. They picked up a hitchhiker on their way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hey, I pastored in Flagstaff. And the hitchhiker ended up killing the guy because the guy was a mental case. But Ken used that after his church was closed 15 years later, saying, see, what? But we were too dumb to know. So now you have the same guy that told us how to attack a Christian leader, telling us we can no longer attack Christian leaders unless he, the anointed of God, gives us permission. He's in charge, and we can't challenge him or question him. And, oh, by the way, if we talk about the anointed or touch the prophets of God, God will kill us, and he's him. So he's the one of the anointed, so we can't touch him. Even though none of that is scriptural, none of that is right, and all of that is wackadoodle.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Doesn't matter whether you're in Diego, Denver, Dallas, or Detroit. We're here for you. or even if you're on Da Moon. See, I couldn't come up with a planet for D fast enough, so I had to go Da Moon. That was all I can come up with. That's kind of lame. We've got our trivia question. We got our teaching. We've got to send you to the website. We have a book. We're supposed to tell you about the book. Just one of those shows. If you have an interest in receiving a free book, how much is it? Free. What is my favorite price? Free. It is a Michael Youssef book, How to Read the Bible as If Your Life Depends on It. We are giving one book away a show for this week. And if you want it, you have to call. And the reason you have to call, I'm telling you now, is because Jacob has to take down the address for where we send the book. That's just how it's got to be. There's no other way to do that, okay? So if you want that book, you let us know. We're giving one book away. You can either tell us when you're answering a trivia question, or you can call in between it all, okay? You don't have to get on the air. Don't have to be afraid of that. All right, here we go. Here's your next trivia question, okay? Now, it's going to be a little challenging, so I want you to think it through. At the crucifixion, how many parts did the soldiers divide Jesus' garments into? Not talking about the tunic, talking about the garments. How many parts did they divide it into? 3, 4, or 7? Your reference point, John chapter 19, verse 23. At the crucifixion, how many parts did the soldiers divide Jesus' garments into? Not talking about the tunic. Is it 3, 4, or 7 parts? Your reference point is in John chapter 19, verse 23. Sorry about that. That's the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, as well as send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. We are going to send you up to the website, and the reason that we send you up to the website, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, it gives you ways to access all of the podcasts. You know, there's 4,500 hours. That's a lot of podcast hours. I don't expect anybody. I wouldn't listen to it all, and it's me. Here's the thing I would tell you. There's places to put for praise reports, for prayer requests. There's places on the website as well that give you encouraging articles. And the reason that I'm promoting that is because it's a good resource. We also have added resources from our listeners. If you have a resource on that one, you can email me or text me the resource, and I'll put it on the website. We're trusting that you'll do a good job and that material's good. I mean, there's nothing else to say about that. And we'll put it up there. It's under the tab Ministry. Additionally, there is a place to give, and that's important because we don't go forward unless we can give. It's just how it goes. I mean, we're not trying to be weird about it. It's just like, yep, that's what we do. Every month's an interesting experience at the David Spoon Experience. So I want to encourage you to go to the website. The scripture that we're using for today in regards to giving is 2 Corinthians 8:3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. So I just want you to give because it's on your heart to do. If you can't do it, I'm praying the Lord will bless you and put you in a position where you can. If you don't want to give to us, give somewhere. Be a giver. That's a really cool thing to be. Check all this out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
That's right. Let's get it going. By the way, nice job. I did a nice long delay for you. Was that good? Did it work out good for you? Because I mean, just kind of like stuttered through the
whole thing. Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay, good. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dr. David. Here's Will.
Hello, Will. How are you?
I'm great. I hope you're better.
I'm doing fantastic. I hope your vacation time, your time away, and time with family was wonderful.
Yeah, I'll talk about that after the trivia question.
Okay, let me do the trivia question, then I'll give you the floor. Here we go, all right? Trivia question. At the crucifixion, how many parts did the soldier divide Jesus' garments into? Not the tunic, but the garments. Is it 3, 4, or 7?
Well, given a typical army squad is like 4 people, I think it's 4.
You're correct, Amundo, sir! Excellent deduction power right there. That is just right on top of it, my friend. You just nailed that to the wall. Very, very good. Very good, sir. Talk to me. Tell me about your time. You got something you want to share?
I got a phrase for you.
Fire away!
I went to see some of my children in Virginia and Louisiana, and on the way back the day after New Year's, I was north of Houston driving down a 2-lane back road in the middle of all the trees, no town nearby, and my vehicle threw a belt. And the Lord directed me down a dirt road to a place who got it repaired in less than 2 hours. And I just want to praise the Lord.
Wow. Praise the Lord. How cool is that? So then you had a problem and the Lord's like, left, right, straight, go, keep going. Yo, over here. And then you got right to where you needed to go and got it completely taken care of. Excellent. Excellent. That just shows you how involved the Lord is with everything we do.
Amen to that. And then I have a request.
Yep.
I'm trying to write a letter to get someone to repent who claims to be a Christian, but I'm skeptical that they are, that I've known over 50 years. And I just want prayer requests to help me get the letter done by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Good request. Want to make sure you do it right. Sometimes it's hard because it's easy to get our stuff involved in there and not do that the way the Lord wants. So that's a great, great prayer request. Well, let me pray for you, okay? Father,
yes, sir.
Father, we come before you right now to just thank you and praise you for my brother Will. And I just thank you that you took care of him. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice with him that you took care of him. That's so awesome. And it gives us hope for ourselves, plus acknowledgement unto you, Lord. Just so good to us and so kind. Now he's trying to take on a task, Lord, that has a lot. It's fraught with a lot of opportunities to say the wrong things, write the wrong things, communicate the wrong things in the wrong spirit. He needs your help. He's not going to do this without you. He's got to do it in a partnership with you. And you tell us if we lack wisdom that we can come to you. And if any man lacks wisdom, that he should ask of God and that you will grant it to us without finding fault. So, Lord, not finding fault within his framework, grant him the wisdom, the leading of the Holy Spirit to write this letter so that it is effective and true for the purpose of this person either verifying or learning that you are the source of all life and that they need to have a full yieldedness to you in every area. And we just ask you to just bless Will, give him insight. When he's done with the letter, let him look at it and go, I didn't even write it. That's how much insight he needs. Bless him and guide him. Give him favor in that process. Give him wisdom in that process. Give him a softness that comes from you, but the truth that comes from you. Grace and wisdom. We pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen, my brother. You keep us posted on that, all right?
Yes, sir. You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. God bless you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Wow, this show didn't go anywhere where I thought it was going to go, which is fine. See, I like that. See, you guys are like, oh, I like teaching. I do that, but I do this 5 days a week for 90 minutes a pop. You don't think I can... All right, so I do have this massively cool teaching that we're not going to evade. So what we're going to do is we're going to break, come back. We'll be kind of back on track, and then I'm going to do this teaching, and it's perfect because it's only this short. So we'll see how it goes. Don't go anywhere, right? We'll take our short break and come back. Teaching coming up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There is this pursuit in people to find happiness, and we've just been revving up and going through the one person who had the capacity, who had the resources to do whatever he wanted to do in order to find happiness. We find out that as Solomon, who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us, he tells us all these different things that he tries. What he's seeking to do is find what is something that drives men, what is something that drives women, what is something that drives children, people, humanity, to just keep going when everything seems vain and everything seems meaningless or everything seems frustrating. And so he goes through, because his resources are unlimited, if you'll keep that in mind, he goes through a whole litany of things. He goes through searching in through knowledge and wisdom. Talks about that in Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 14. Finds out that's not the answer. He does it in partying and drinking wine. I lived in Temecula, it's wine country, part of wine country in California. Solomon had more wine than these people could ever dream of. He talks about that in Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 3. He talks about building a house, personal accomplishments, doing a garden. He had artistic works involved. Everything you can imagine Solomon was doing. I mean, he was doing it all. He's creating gardens. He had amassed a ton of wealth. He had high levels of entertainment. He had male and female singers. The guy had more sex than any person could ever even imagine. And he had superiority and control. And he gets to Ecclesiastes 2. And when he gets to Ecclesiastes 2, 10 and 11, he says, "When I surveyed all that my hands had done and had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He could not reach the level of satisfaction that he was searching for. That was his conclusion. He poured resources, he just did a lot of stuff. So he gives two hints, two declarations, I should say, not really hints, to help us understand what is the answer to pursuing happiness. Ready? Here it is. I'm telling you, this is the biblical answer. There's no other. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 through 26a. "A person can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness." The answer, Solomon said, is God has to give it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. "I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God." Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. This has been a show of praises. That's been a lot of fun. It's just been a lot of fun, the whole show, okay? I mean, I love shows like this. I get to teach some, we get to hear some, we get to praise. I'm just like, that's the best, right? Okay, here's your last trivia question. You're going to have to look up the reference if you're not sure, although you should know this. According to the book of Revelation, what will we receive if we are faithful unto death? Will we receive the reward of the sword, the riches of Zendar, or the crown of life? What will we receive if we are faithful unto death? The reward of the sword, the riches of Zendar, or the crown of life? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David, at HeMustIncrease.org. Going to go to the teaching that we didn't get to because it's just got this one portion. I got to talk about it. It's so good. Let's go back briefly before we get into any other stuff in Romans. I just want to go back briefly to Romans 1:16 and 17. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Gentiles. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a person has life." Wow. That's so powerful. By the way, that's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. That's the scriptural reference. Here's something I want to tell you. This was so important. Last week, Rosalind came in and she shared, and she had just a wonderful testimony that the Lord, she's just not really a evangelistical kind of person. And she tried to share the gospel with somebody before, and it went really not that great. And in this situation she was in with her mom, what she did was she found herself next to this person who's going through something difficult at the same time. They started talking, and she was just compelled. She couldn't even restrain. She just started asking and talking, and then she started sharing about Jesus. And she had, like, almost nothing to do with it. It has to do with her just being a willing vessel. Now, the reason that I bring that up is because I encounter a lot of people who do not see themselves as evangelistical as much as they see themselves as an encourager. So they don't see themselves as a Paul as much as they see themselves as a Barnabas. There's no sin in that whatsoever, so don't get weird, okay? But what there is always us being available, right? That's the thing. So when this passage says to us, "I'm not ashamed of the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God," I want to emphasize something that's important, and that is, it is never anything but God's power in the gospel that reaches somebody. It's not our presentation. It's not our embellishments that we try to add to make it seem better. It's got nothing to do with eloquence of speech. It's got everything to do what God does for the person listening. The scripture makes it clear. It's available to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. The gospel, this gospel, is how we reconcile our relationship with God in his sight, not in our sight, in his sight. And it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what God thinks and what God does. So when people are like, I don't feel comfortable witnessing, and then the Lord opens up the situation and you can't do anything, but that shows you, listen to what I'm going to tell you, that shows you that that opportunity was ordained from God, not something that was forced upon or pushed upon or done out of guilt or anything else. She just was sharing with the person. She was just being herself, and out it came. And before she knew it was over, she had just shared about the gospel and didn't even realize it. What I'm trying to tell you is that's how God operates. If you don't think so, you should read Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says, "Pray for us that an opportunity to share the gospel will come." Do you know what he's telling people? There's a space, there is a place, there is a divine appointment for those things to take place. You don't have to sit there and have all your ammo ready to go. You have to be available. Now, when I say don't have your ammo ready to go, I'm saying you don't have to walk around quoting every process or formula you've ever heard. Just be in connection with the Lord. If he wants to use you to reach somebody, he will. Now, some people are really good at it in the sense that it's more of their who they are, and they're able to share. And that's awesome. You should praise God for that. But remember that there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Everybody's got a little bit different flavor connected to them. And some people are more evangelistical. One of the things that I've noticed in my own life, which I find is just as weird as can be, is in the beginning of my life, I was so evangelistical. Now I've become more teacher pastory. Can you say that? Teacher pastory-like. But it's got its own little things, its own little quirks, you know, but definitely not an apostle and a prophet maybe once in my lifetime. But it's just, I'm just saying, it's like it changes. What's important about that is for you and I to understand the Lord knows who you are. Don't let Satan, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Don't let Satan make you feel guilty because you're not doing what everybody else seems to be doing. That's ridiculous. Make sure you are, that DNA is so important. Make sure that you are staying close to the Lord. Make sure you're never ashamed of Jesus Christ. Make sure you're ready to serve the Lord. You know enough. Most witnessing comes about very naturally. It's not forced. It's almost like it's too easy not to do. It's so easy you have to do it. And that's what I like about what Rosalind said, and that's what I like about this passage. The gospel is the power of God. It's not your presentation. It's not how you say it. It's not you being brilliant. It's God's power from God's message, and it's what God does with it in people's ears. Now, I know how the modern elements are, and I don't have any problem with that, and I actually have a lot of I support and stand by a lot of ministries that do that more evangelistical style, the tent, the meeting, the so on and so forth. But in the early church, the evangelists were evangelizing the church, reminding the church people that it's the gospel that saved them and the gospel that keeps them. It's a little different now, but that's all right because the Lord takes those things and uses them as he wants. What I'm trying to tell you is always be available. Don't be filled with guilt. If you're a person that is really inclined to do it as often as you can. Praise the Lord. Never keep a count. Well, 19 got saved and 460 didn't, or 460 got saved and 19 different. Don't do that. It's not your salvations. They're God's. Okay. It's his stuff. Okay. It's his numbers. You just be available. And God bless you if you have that spirit. It's so awesome. I love people that can do that. But I love people that have a hard time with that, but are just willing to present themselves to the Lord. Okay, now, trivia question, because I know that the pink ping pong ball was being reached for. According to the book of Revelation, what will we receive if we are faithful unto the end? Is it the reward of the sword, the riches of Zendar, or the crown of life? And the answer is the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. What a fun show we had today. Folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.